And joining us on the line from the 19th Legislative District, Senator Jeff Wilson, sir. Good morning to you. Jeff Wilson, Senator, good morning to you, sir. We'll try that again. Senator Jeff Wilson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well, actually. Trying to figure out, you know, the flow of Kyle's show here, working the knobs and such. But so far, so good. How are you doing? How's the legislative session going?
Well, the legislative session is going with all sorts of challenges. But before we get into there, I'd just like to offer up to your listeners that I'd like to send out my office's condolences to City Council member Dale Andrews, who passed recently. I know he was an important member of your community, so I'd like to mention that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
And as far as the legislature go, it's the time of year, of course, where the Senate has their bills reviewed at the House, and currently in the Senate, we're beginning to review the House bills, and as we head to just the final weeks of our 105-day session. So it'll, starting next week, we'll spend a tremendous amount of time on the floor actually voting in or voting out these many bills headed our way.
So, Senator, there's a lot of bills in there that are concerning of law enforcement. So which one of those bills still have some validity there in the legislature?
You know, we have so many this year. Without a specific number, you can almost pick one. But probably the biggest law enforcement issue that we're now facing of the highest priority is the State versus Blake recent Supreme Court decision. That has the biggest aspect of police activities currently we're facing in the legislature. And, of course, this is where the Supreme Court has ruled about substance in your possession is pretty much a legal defense, really putting in chaos, you know, all of our policing departments on what do we do to those that are having their possessions controlled substances. So that's really put a, I would say, a wrench in not only the policing, but also our courts, Pat. You know, there's 10,000 plus open cases that would be affected by this Blake versus state case, and in at least another 1,000 court cases of courts that have limited jurisdiction. So we have our hands full, and we do have some bills dropped that we'll be discussing soon that would hopefully fix this language on behalf of all the county and police departments that are wondering, well, how do we handle people that have drugs in their possession right now?
So what? How would you fix the language in that, Senator?
Well, there's a lot of talk of just simply adding the word knowingly into the language. But, you know, I don't want to make sure that your listeners get a understanding that this, although it's legislatures, there's two or three bills that have been dropped. And we can do bills, of course, this time of year because this kind of a bill is necessary to implement our budget. But, you know, I will tell you that the state itself has filed a motion for reconsideration with the Supreme Court. So, you know, I don't know how fast that's going to happen. The legislature certainly is not going to sit around and wait for a court decision at this point or for them to do a reconsideration. They're not fast enough. Our communities need to know much sooner. So I would suspect we'll be debating a bill here very soon. That I hope will provide a remedy.
You know, something also that our community has their eye on are the rising gas prices, and that is a big concern for working folks. And although there's the possibility of some carbon taxes, carbon emissions fees being talked about, what's happening there, and, you know, what's the reality of that for our community here?
Well, that's kind of some of the problem when you get into where we're headed with some of our legislation, one of them being House Bill 1091, which is known as the Low Carbon Fuel Standards. You know, Pat, you hit it on the head there. This kind of a bill significantly impacts our rural areas. I mean, come on, Grays Harbor, All of the 19th district is pretty much rural, and this is very much disproportionate impact to us because fuel costs, gasoline could rise an easy 57 cents a gallon, diesel can go up 63 cents a gallon, and these are actually lower figures. They could go significantly higher. So this is a very regressive policy or a fuel tax proposal that really doesn't reduce carbon in as it's advertised, but what it really does is it harms our people, you know, Pat, those that have to drive long distances. You know, we talk about equity. This is disproportionate. This harms our communities, and it also harms disappointment, you know, fortunately, minorities and people of even color are affected. Everybody on the spectrum in a rural community can expect to pay significantly more. That's what I would call a bad bill. And, you know, we try to follow the state of California, and I don't know why we do stuff like that. Let me go to remind all of your listeners that twice the voters of Washington have rejected carbon tax initiative, both in 2016 and 2018. So the legislature needs to quit disrespecting the voters in that regard, Pat.
It just seems like it is such a negative thing for working people, people that have to get to their jobs, that have to drive to where they're going, the hard working blue collar workers that got to put gas in their vehicle and get to work. When we're talking about, you know, raising the minimum wage and all of this stuff, this thing seems like it's counterintuitive to it all.
Yeah, and, you know, amen to that. I think you said it just as well as I'm going to attempt to. It. Rural residents, we have to drive longer and farther. We can't always live closer to work. That will drive up our cost. It's a double face to, an effort to punish us to some extent, because we have that long distances. And on top of that, the low carbon fuel standards, this gives a tremendous amount of power to an agency called Department of Ecology. Ecology would be charged with really kind of running this program. And let me remind your listeners, I'm an elected official. You put me here, Pat. You didn't put Ecology there. There are no elected officials at Ecology. So once we hand over that kind of control to a state agency, you do roll the dice. The accountability is removed because there's nobody to unvote or kick out of that office. And that alone, you know, we could spend a tremendous amount of your time just talking about the Department of Ecology and how the 19th Legislative District has been very slowed down and hampered by such an agency.
Well, with our time left, we have a few minutes left, Senator Wilson. I wanted to talk with you about the Wild Olympics bill, which, interestingly enough, is wildly unpopular in Grays Harbor, but yet it's still rears its head every other session or so. And most recently, all three of our county commissioners have actually came out against it. Where is it now?
You know, that's I know that the Grays Harbor commissioners have passed their resolution of opposing the Wild Olympics plan. And I'm grateful that they do. In fact, kudos to the commissioners for being very proactive in standing up to it because, you know, quite frankly, the issue is a mess, and you know what, we do need to get back to being responsibly harvesting and providing access to areas like that instead of really getting to the point where you say nobody's welcome here. And in fact, you know, just a moment ago we spoke about like the low carbon fuel standards, and one of the opposing effects of that is to go out and harvest trees and plant more trees, of course. And why I say harvest trees, and that's to remove forest fire danger, which is a massive polluter of carbon to our breathing space. And, you know, trees, of course, are part of our healthy ecosystem. And so, you know, there's an imbalance with the Wild Olympics. I'm frustrated that it continues to go this way. It sounded good when it started, but you know, we need to manage our local forests and utilize responsible resources versus kind of just stay out and stay away. That doesn't do our economy and our communities any good at all, Pat.
Yeah, there's just residents and community members are concerned about not having access, for one, and locking something up. When it's locked up forever.
You know, unfortunately, that seems to be a little bit of a tone this year in the legislature. I'm a freshman legislator, but at the same time, I sit and I've heard many discussions from other departments, and quite frankly, it alarms me. I hear the tone is, in order to preserve some of these areas, it's just easier to exclude us humans. And quite frankly, that begins to rub everybody the wrong way. We live in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, and we're to become part of nature and part of our outdoors, not having a line drawn in the forest that says, you can't come here. That would only be for, should be reserved for very exclusive and very, very special circumstances. And meantime, the Wild Olympics definitely sends it. It's sold as a program that increases access, but it really doesn't. And I'm frustrated. I share with the frustration with that, and I'm grateful to commissioners to stand up with that.
Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th Legislative District, sir, I do appreciate your time and joining us this morning, and have yourself a good day.
Thank you, Pat. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.